Yeah. 5 sections in the third Now, what is the meaning of Samkhya? The second chapter is what? Samkhya Yoga. What is the meaning? Samkhya means to count, simple. Sankhya. 1, 2, 3, 4. So you're counting. So by counting, what are you understanding? By counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 means counting the material elements. Earth, I am not this earth. Water, I am not this water. Fire, I am not this fire. In this way, you go on counting all the 24 elements. Who can list all the 24 elements of material nature? 24 elements of material nature. Who can list it? Anybody? Now we will list it. Tell all the 24 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are called what? They are called gross elements of Pancha Mahabhutas. These are the Pancha Mahabhutas. Okay. Now, these five. Next. Mind, intelligence, and policy goal. These three are subtle elements. Okay. Eight. Five working senses. Hands, legs, mouth, that is the genitals. Five working senses. And they are already 13. Five knowledge gaining senses. What are they? Eyes, nose, ears, tongue, skin. Five. So 18. The subtle form of the gross elements. What are they? Form, sound, tip to the line. Earth, for earth it is smell. Then water, taste. Fire, form. Air, touch, and for ether, sound. So these are the five subtleties. In this way, there are 23. What is the 24th one? No. It is the unmanifested modes of material nature that is called Pradhana. Anyhow, so Sankhya means generally these 24 elements come into picture. So we are none of these material elements, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. That is the whole summit of the second chapter. To understand that I am not this body, I am spirit soul. So that is what is mostly discussed in the second chapter. So second chapter gives a hint to devotional service, that's all. That is why second chapter is called the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. It contains so many items, so many things. So after Krishna spoke the second chapter, Arjuna was confused because at one place Krishna says, Durena hi avaram karma uddiyoga dananjaya. Those who have Bhagavad Gita, you should have. You can open this verse number 59. So in the verse number 49, the second chapter, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? He says, Durena. Durena means keep things far. What you should keep far away? You should be far away from what? Avaram karma. Avaram karma means all needy, harmful activities. Durena avaram karma, buddhi yoga dhananjaya. By your intelligence, keep yourself away from all bad activities. So, by your intelligence, you know, or you can sleep, smoking cigarette is injurious. So, use your intelligence by buddhi yoga, keep yourself away from cigarette. So, that is called durena avaram karma. Now, Arjuna started thinking, my dear Krishna, you told me that keep yourself away from all bad activities by your intelligence and then sit peacefully at home. That is what Krishna is telling. And fighting is a bad activity. Killing people is a bad activity. So my dear Arjuna, my dear Krishna, Arjuna is saying, why are you asking me to fight? At one place you say that keep yourself away from abominable activities, and other place you say that you should fight. So I am now confused. So Arjuna is confused now. So that is how the whole third chapter begins. The third chapter is named as Karma Yoga. Like last time I told that we are going to recite the names of each chapter every time when we meet. So by the end of the course, at least you will know all the names, at least as overview. So what is the first chapter? Arjuna Vishala Yoga. Second chapter, Sankhya Yoga. Third, Karma Yoga. Fourth, Jnana Yoga. Fifth, Karma Sanyasa Yoga. Sixth, Jnana Yoga. Seventh, Jnana Vijnana Yoga. Eighth, Taraka Brahma Yoga. Ninth, Raja Vidya, Raja Uriya Yoga. And tenth one, Vibhuti Yoga. 11th, Vishwarupa Darshan Yoga. 12th, Bhakti Yoga. 13th, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. 14th, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. 15th, Purushottama Yoga. 16th, Daivasana Sampada Yoga. 17th, Shraddha Traya Vibhava Yoga. 18th, Sanyasa Yoga. So now the third chapter starts with a question by Arjuna. So Arjuna has to ask questions in two shlokas. So what are the questions? The question is a very genuine question by Arjuna. The question is, should I work or not? That is the only question. Should I use my intelligence, be situated in knowledge, and sit at home peacefully, or go to bed, and then live, continue my life? Or should I get into work and then do some work, practical work? That was the question. It says, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste, Matha Buddhir, Matha Buddhir, Janardana. Tat kirm karmani ghore ma niyojasi keshava. So now Arjuna asks Krishna, my dear Krishna, you are telling me to fight. Karmani ghore. Ghore means it's horrible activity of fighting. You are asking me to do this. If you think intelligence is better than fruitive work, why are you asking me to work? Why are you asking me to fight? Let me use my intelligence and then do any avaram karma. So tell me now, the second verse he says, Vyamishrena Vakena Buddhi Moye Sivame Tam Kim Tamekam Vadanischitva Tadekam Vadanischitva Yena Shreya Vakma. So you tell me only one thing. Because in the second chapter, you have completely confused me. You are told to fight, at the same time, you told that you keep away from all materialistic activities by intelligence. So this question is very genuine question, because every devotee, everybody gets confused like this. What should I do? Whether I should just give up my work and then live my life just using my intelligence and not doing anything and just renouncing everything, or should I work? So this is the question. Because this material world is designed in such a way that it will definitely lead you to frustration. Because if somebody is frustrated in his life, that means he has actually understood what is material world. So in that frustration, generally first thing comes is, just let me give up everything. Just let me give up everything and go to forest. So Arjuna was also frustrated. Then he is thinking, no, let me give up and then go to forest. Now says, it is good that you are frustrated and now you start fighting. Now, the whole third chapter is based on this one point. Whether I should work or whether I should renounce. This is the argument. Now let us see how Krishna resolves this conflict which Arjuna had within his mind. He says, Loke asmin dvidha nishtha. He says, my dear Arjuna, there are two kinds of nishtha, two views in this world. Dvidha nishtha. Dvidha means two. Pura prota mayanaga anaga, my dear Arjuna. Arjuna is addressed as anaga, sinless person. Pura prota, it's from ages, it's going on. There are two nishtas. What are they? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. So one is called jnana yoga, other is karma yoga. Jnana yoga and karma yoga. It says jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. So there are some people who are called the yogis or karma yogis, and then some people who are called the jnana yogis. So these jnana yogis, what they try to do, they just try to sit at one place and do some meditation, read some books, and then they are not bothered about this world. But there are some karma yogis. Who are they? They are in the world, they are working and doing all kinds of activities. So now Krishna says, this confusion is not there in your mind, my dear Arjuna. This confusion is there right from the dawn of creation. These are new things. Whether I should work or should I renounce? So this confusion is not a new confusion. It is there right from the dawn of creation. Pura prokta mayanaga. So now let us see how Krishna answers this question. How resolves this big confusion? Whether I should give up work in my frustration, or should I continue my work and get more frustrated? Now here it says, Na karmana manarambhan naishkaryam purishoshnute Nacha sanyasa deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, just consider this one point. You want to give up work? So just by renunciation, merely just giving up this world and going to the forest, no way that you are going to attain perfection. Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reactions. Nor by renunciation alone can attain perfection. So Krishna discarded the thing. He told my Arjuna, just by renunciation you cannot achieve imperfection. So jnana yoga becomes useless. Then he says in the fifth verse, he says, why? Why is it that you cannot achieve perfection by renunciation? How is it? Because the nature of the soul is to be active. So even though you become renounced and then say, I don't want to do anything, it is also, this renunciation is also and not the quality of the soul. What is the quality of the soul? Nahi shanam jatu tishtani akaramakar. Taryatehi avashaha karma sarva karma pravyate punai. The soul is an active thing. It's not only just active, it's hyperactive thing. It doesn't sit at one place. It always wants to do something. The nature of the soul is very active. So the soul has got two situations. One is a liberated situation, liberated condition. Another is called which is bound, which is conditioned state. Liberated state and a conditioned state. Now in this world we are all in what? Which state? In the conditioned state. So my dear Arjuna, in both the states, whether it is liberated, whether it is conditioned, in both the stages the soul is always active. If you see, sometimes you may be very busy whole day working, still feel very fresh in the night. Sometimes it so happens that your whole day you got holiday, you are just in your own house. At the end of the day, you feel frustrated. Why? What is the reason? students, they want the exams to get over so that we can get holidays. 2 days holidays are so wonderful, the third week so boring. In that boring, in that frustration, they start troubling the parents. So when they start troubling the parents, what they do, parents want them to send them out. Yo, get it out. Get out of the house, do something, don't disturb. In the frustration, they go out and break tea, they do all kinds of things. If they are out and they engage positively, then they are quite peaceful when they come out, they are tired and go out. So you can exactly see the nature of the soul, it always will be very active. So that is why Krishna says to Arjuna, Nahi kshanamapi jatu tishtati akarmakriti. He says in a different way, he says, even kshanapi, even there, even as kshana, 1/16th of a second, even to that, in that time also, the soul cannot remain inactive. It cannot be just stationary without doing it. It will do something or another. So, renunciation is not the perfection of life. Renunciation is giving up work or just to be situated in jnana. That is not the perfection of life. So, now, Krishna gives his verdict. He says, my dear Arjuna, one who restrains his senses, he says, karmendriyani samyamya naste manasa smaran indriyartha nirgunatma vidyachara uchate. Suppose, if somebody still wants to give up birth, you know what will happen? He will be called a pretender. Because in his mind there are so many desires. So if it doesn't work, what happens? Those desires will come out. And then he will be constantly thinking of enjoying within his mind only. So this kind of renunciation is actually not at all good. Says, one who restrains his senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Mithyachara sauchate. So Srila Prabhupada writes that a sincere sweeper on the road is better than a pretending transcendentalist. It is better to be a sincere sweeper on the road than to be a transcendentalist, so-called transcendentalist, who is doing some false meditation. Externally he is having a renounced stress, but internally he is always thinking of some sense objects, how to enjoy this, how to enjoy that. That is why Krishna says in the 9th verse, the most important verse of the 3rd chapter, rather the crux of the 3rd chapter. He says, my decision, my dear Arjuna, is that better than your renunciation of work is to work for my satisfaction. Because anyhow you have to work, so work for my satisfaction. So here there is a nice incident which can be related to. Actually Krishna is telling Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, because Arjuna told in the first chapter to Krishna that, oh, I am frustrated, I cannot kill these people, I cannot take part in the war. Better I just go to the forest and live my life by begging. So Arjuna says, my dear, Krishna says to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, you want to go to the forest and beg? But even though you think that you will go to the forest and start begging, because by your nature, you are a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means one who is always active and he wants to do something and somebody comes and surrenders, he protects him. So you go to the forest and you start drinking Bhavadivikshan, Dehi, somebody gives you some Tripathi, somebody gives you some Sabji. So you are collected, you are begging and you are sat in one place and you are going to eat. Then another beggar comes, running to you, thinking, looking like a very weak. Oh, Arjuna beggar, please hear me. Why? Because there is a big strong beggar who has stolen all the begging. You see, beggar also has it. A strong beggar, he comes and steals all the begging from a lean beggar. So this thin beggar, he comes to Arjuna beggar and says, oh, please hear me. Arjuna says, hey, who is attacking you? Arjuna gets up and he takes a Gandiva again. So why you want to shoot an arrow on the beggar? Because you will be forced by your nature to do things. battlefield, whether are you in the forest. You will be forced by nature to do. So better do what I say. Because you cannot live without doing something, so better do what I say. Because if you do something whimsically, that is giving you frustration. So doing whimsically something gives frustration, and not doing anything will also give you frustration, actually more frustration. So better do something what I say. So here there are three things. Action according to whimsical thoughts. I thought I will do this. Actions according to Krishna's instructions, and not performing any action. Out of these three things, the best thing is to do what? Do what Krishna says for the pleasure of Krishna. So here Krishna advises Arjuna that you don't have just two options, you got three options here. Many of the people, they just restrict their options to only two things, whether to do or not to do. They don't think of the third option. What is the third option? To do according to the instructions of Krishna. So they always think of whether to do or not to do. But there is a third option. That is what Krishna says. What is the third option? He says, Yajnyarthat karma nyakra loko ayam karma bandhana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangas samarga. Most important verse. This verse is also given in the memorized. You have to memorize this verse. In the book which I have given to you, that these verses come. Yajnyarthat karma nyakra loko ayam karma. Yajnyarthat means you should work as a sacrifice to me. Now many of the people, as soon as they hear about this yajna, immediately they think, oh, there is a Brahmin chanting mantra, there is a fire and pouring tea and putting some bananas into it. So yajna doesn't mean just this thing. It is just a partiality of yajna. The real yajna means to offer your results to Krishna. Actually, even in that fire sacrifice, when somebody is putting banana, he is not actually putting 2 rupees banana into it. That is the karma phala. It is not just phal. It is karma phala. Which is represented by the banana. It is not just we are putting some ghee and banana into it. So it is karma phala. Like that flower, it indicates something. Flower indicates your heart. The feelings of the heart. That also will be offered to Krishna. So everything has got a particular significance in that yajna, whatever. So yajnata karma manyantra lokoyam karma manyana tadattam karma. So Krishna says that is the meaning of karma, that is the purpose of karma. Everybody has to act, do something or other. They have to cook or they have to sing. They have to do something or other. So yajnata karma manyantra lokoyam karma manyana. If you don't do this, if you just act whimsically, then what happens? You will be bound by this karmic reaction. You will be frustrated. So, both acting according to whims, use frustration, and also not acting, giving up action will also give you frustration. So, in this world, everybody is frustrated. Why they are frustrated? Just because of this. Some people are working very hard, studying, getting all the results, ultimately giving the credits. And some people, let us go and take things. So both are leading towards destruction and frustration. You find there are two kinds of people who are actually frustrated. Those who achieved all the materialistic things by their hard work in their life. And those who already see all these things happening to them, ultimately after doing PhD or taking drugs, why did you take drugs in the 5th standard itself? Isn't it? See, all the people have PhDs and all, they make big increase, they become graduates. Ultimately, they didn't do it outself. So both leads to frustration. So now only one thing which leads you to go beyond this cycle of birth and death, that is what? Is performing actions for the pleasure of Krishna. Yajnyartha karma yajnyartha. Okay? Now, the first section is over, where Krishna talks about how working in Krishna consciousness is better than just renouncing work. So that is why this chapter is named as Karma Yoga. Renunciation of work or work in devotion. Which is better? Work in devotion is better than renouncing one's work. Now, the next section is a little bit tricky section. Very, very tricky section. Now, somebody starts thinking. So I work for Krishna. I work, but the point is, I work with some fruity results. I want to enjoy it still. Now, Krishna says that this cycle, which I am going to explain, which Krishna actually created, you should transcend even this cycle of karma kanda. So starting from this 10th verse to the 16th verse, Krishna talks about sacrifice, the system of sacrifice which he has created. So the system of sacrifice which has been created by Krishna is like this. He created the demigods, devatas. He created the system of sacrifice. He created all the material elements. Like when you are taking, you are using the electricity. When you are using electricity, the electrical department uses the bill. Now, you are taking water, the water department is giving you the bill. You are breathing air, why you are not getting the bill? So Krishna gives you the bill. Thus, ultimately electricity also belongs to Krishna. Ultimately water also belongs to Krishna. But some ignorant people start thinking that I am creating electricity. Some ignorant people start thinking I am producing water. But actually water is there in the rivers. So ultimately we are using all these things. So Krishna gives you the bill for air also. Then you have to pay the bill. How are you going to pay the bill? By doing sacrifice. So the system of sacrifice is just nothing but paying the bills, that's all. So if you don't pay the bill, then what happens? You're going to be arrested. So what is that arresting? Arresting means you will be born again. Again take birth, Janma to Jarabya. Go down to sinful act. When you pollute the atmosphere, then what happens? You will be born into the lower species because it's simple activities. So it is just a question of give and take. So this is called the system of sacrifice which Krishna has created. So one has to take this process sacrifice, but ultimately come to the point of complete surrender to Krishna. That is why you find in this section Krishna talks about how the system of sacrifice between the demigods and the and the living entities established. And then he says, Yajna Shishtashina Santo Mucchante Kilvishai Bhumte Tugam Papa. In the 30th verse he says, Ke Pachanti Atma Karana. Those people who just enjoy this material world without doing sacrifice, they are what? They are actually eating sin. And those people who just enjoy without considering the paying the bills or doing sacrifice, they are called thieves. So those people who are not at all bothered about the higher controllers, they are addressed in two ways. One as thieves, other as who are eating sin. Just imagine eating sin. If you don't do yajna, if you don't do your activities for the purpose of satisfaction of Krishna, then that is going to be leading you to sinful activities. That is why especially when it comes to food, Sri Prabhupada writes about food actually. When the food is not offered to Krishna and it is eaten without being offered to Krishna, then what happens? What you are eating is not rice, dal, chapati. What are you eating? You are eating actual sin. So it should be offered to Krishna and accepted as prasadam. So when it is accepted as prasadam, then that purifies your heart. Whereas without offering to Krishna, if somebody accepts anything, that leads to sinful activity. And it's called bhukti yo bhukti stenayava saha. So that is why there is one cycle here. you open the 16th verse in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, therefore, for those who want to enjoy this material world, the above-mentioned cycle of performing yajñas is absolutely necessary. So what is the cycle of yajña? What is the cycle? So that cycle is mentioned in the previous two verses, that is the 15th and the 16th verse. So where Krishna says that anna bhavanti bhutani, we are able to live not because of cosmetic industry. Our life is not because of the cosmetic industry, not because we are producing the steel and iron, not because of the computers, not because of the computer chips. We are existing because of potato chips, not because of computer chips. Our whole civilization is concentrated on how to produce smaller and smaller computer chips. Is that right? Yeah. We want to reduce the price of computer chips, but the potato chips are increasing. So that is why Krishna says, anna bhavanti bhutani. We are living because we are eating food. Without food, you cannot live. And you cannot create food in the factory. You can make put in some dabba, canned food. But ultimately, where is that food coming from? It is coming from food grains which are produced from the earth, isn't it? Channa bhavanti bhutani. Bhutani is living entities. We are all sustained by anna. And where is this anna? Where is this food coming from? Parjanya anna sambhavaha. If there are no rains, then there is no food. This parjanya is a special kind of rain through which the food is produced. There are so many kinds of rains. Special rainfall only creates this anna. So, parjanya anna sambhavaha. So, we are living because of food. Food is coming because of rainfall or parjanya. And where, why the rainfalls are coming? Yajna bhavati parjanya. Because there is somebody who is doing sacrifice, that is where the rainfall is coming. When somebody stops doing sacrifice, then the rainfall stops. Why there is, this case you will find, either there is excessive rainfall, that excessive rainfall is not parjanya, it is not going to produce any food grains. Like all the rainfall which is falling in Bombay, what is happening? It's all going to the oceans. It's not producing any. Either there is excessive rainfall that is flooding the whole place, or there is so scanty rainfall that there is no food for you. Why all this scarcity is happening? It is happening because there is nobody who is performing sacrifice these days. They are just extracting material nature. How to exploit, how to enjoy to the maximum extent. The material nature shows us its ugly face. It says, oh, you are doing this. Now, the question may arise, but still I am able to eat my food, I am able to eat my chapati, where is this grains coming from? They are all just coming because there are few people on the planet who are chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, this would not happen. If on this planet there is nobody doing any sacrifice, sure that not even a single piece of grain will be found. Just because there are some people in this planet who are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, doing some sacrifice to the Lord, who are performing devotional service, still the planet is existing as you are seeing now. Otherwise, it would have already gone to promise. Like there was a small story. There are four people who are walking in the forest. And all of a sudden there is a huge rainfall. And thunderstorms are coming. And they all just went into a cave to hide from this. Then they all started thinking, why this happened? It happened because there is one person among us who is really sinful. We want to know who is that person. So they all decided that one by one we'll go to some distance and come back. So that sinful person will go out. When he goes out, he is going to be caught in the rain, he is going to die. Then the rainfall will start. They all agree. Everybody told, I am not sinful, I am not sinful, I am not sinful. So first person went. Nothing happened to him, came back, told, I am not sinful. You see, nothing happened. Then the other person went. He went and then saw the thing. I am not sinful. One of you two was sinful, sinful. So then the third person was raving and said, what to do? So he also went. When he went out, the heavy rains, after all he was there, he came back. He told him, yes, I was not sinful. Now he is the person who is sinful. So he told the fourth person, you should get out, don't come back now yet. So he went, what to do? He thought, the pious person was chanting Hare Krishna on the event. So he went out. As soon as he went down, the big rock in the cave fell down on all the three guys. So actually these three people were not knowing that they were all surviving just because of this person. So the whole planet doesn't know that they are all getting all the necessities of life so far, even if it is being illegal. It is just because of what? Because of? Yes, some people exist in what lives who are supposed to get something because of their activities. So this is the cycle of sacrifice. We exist, life subsists because of good grains, grains are available because of rains, rains are there because of sacrifice. And where are the sacrifices coming from? Yajna karma bhavam vidyet. Brahmakshara. Anna bhavati bhutani parjanya anna sambhava. Yajna bhavati parjanya. Yajna karma samudbhava. Karma brahmodhavam vidyat brahmakshara samudbhava. Tasma sarvatam brahma nitya vidyat krishna. So that is why, my dear Arjuna, you always perform your activities for my pleasure. He says, karma brahmodhavam vidyat. And where are these activities mentioned? These activities are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. So study of Vedas, Brahmakshara Samutvam, Tasma, Sarvatam Brahma, that all pervading Brahman is always established in Yajna. So perform sacrifice, my dear Arjuna. So one has to perform sacrifice. That is the whole purpose of the third chapter where Krishna is telling, perform sacrifice, need. Now, in the third section of the chapter, explains how one should perform work without attachment. Now you have got the tendency to enjoy, but by performing work you should come to the position of working without any expectation of any result. So that is why in this chapter, in this particular section, we find there are many shlokas which talk about how one should perform activity in spite of you being liberated. A huge section, 17th verse till the 35th verse. In this section, Krishna talks about one great devotee of his. Who is that person? Janaka. So Janaka, who is Janaka? Janaka is such a great devotee of Lord Ram that Lord Ram personally came in front of him and begged for his daughter. Janaka is the father-in-law of Lord Ram. So what does the Dama do? He goes to the father-in-law and asks, give me Kanyadan. Kanyadan means he becomes a beggar. I am so attached to your daughter, please give your daughter a donation. So he becomes a beggar. So just imagine the Supreme Lord of the three worlds became a beggar in front of Janaka. So that Janaka, is he bound to do anything? Does he have to do anything? Any karma? No, he doesn't have to do anything. He is so liberated soul. That's what Krishna says. Just because, my dear Arjuna, even though you become liberated, because for a liberated soul, he doesn't have any obligations. A person who is completely liberated from this material world, he doesn't have any obligations. I will do this, I am obliged to do this. But still, he performs his activities. Like Janaka. Just because a liberated soul need not act, that doesn't mean he will not act. Very important line. The whole section of this can be compressed into this one line. A liberated soul need not perform his duty. That doesn't mean that he will not perform his duty. Get your point? So that is the third chapter. This section, theme of this section is what? Even though one need not do, but still he does. Now, not only use the example of Janaka, Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, even I, when Krishna himself comes to this world, takes incarnation, what does he do? He did not do anything, because he is God. He is already done. He offered the whole creation, everything is done. But still when he comes to this material world, he performs his duty. Like when he is in Dwaraka, what was Krishna doing? He was getting up early in the morning, and taking bath, cleaning, then he used to chant. Chanting whose name? Krishna used to chant his own name. Actually, he was chanting his own name externally, but internally he was chanting Radha's, Radharani's name. That's what he was doing. Anyhow. So, he used to do it, he is chanting, like everybody is supposed to do this. As a human being, everybody is get up in the morning and then chant names of Krishna. And then, we have to do some nitya karma, we have to do some charity. But these days, every day morning, as soon as you get up, they are thinking of where to get money from, what happened to the money. They one thing, they are supposed to clean their clothes and do some charity. They do some charity. They do some charity. So Krishna has to do a lot of charity and take care of the whole kingdom very nicely and take care of the family very nicely. Though he need not do, even though he is God, but still he is taking care of everything, because Krishna says, those who are not qualified, they will see you and then think that I am also fit to renounce world. That is why Lokasandharam Evapi, for the sake of people, for the sake of the common man, you leaders or leaders of society, they should perform their work for my satisfaction. They should continue working. So that is what Krishna is telling the whole section. The whole section, right from 17th verse to the 35th verse, is just based on one thing, that even though you are liberated, even though you have become, even though I am God, still I set an example so that people will work according to their propensities for my worship. So now, going further, 36th verse is a question. Bad, good. Third chapter, Krishna talks about in the final section about lust, about Mr. Lust. How to deal with this? Because Arjuna has a very tricky question here. He says, my dear Krishna, I know that I have to work for you. I have to do this. I know it. But still, there is something within me which is stopping me to do something which I want to do. And there is something which is me, which is forcing me to do something which I don't want to do. So what is the question by Arjuna? He says that Atakhena Prabhupto Yam Tatam Charati Yusha Anichanna Pivashnaya Bala Adiva Devodita. Anichanna means what? Even though I don't desire, Bala Adiva means by forcefully, it is pushing me to do that thing. Like you ask a smoker, do you really want to smoke? He says no. But after 10 minutes you find him smoking. Why? You ask a child, you want to study? Yes. He opens the book. And after 10 minutes you find him watching TV. Why? Everybody regrets. I shouldn't have spoken like that. But they still do. What is the thing that forces you to do those things? So Arjuna asks a very intelligent question. Out of many questions in the Bhagavad Gita, all the questions by Arjuna are very practical and very much distinct. But for a newcomer to Krishna consciousness, this question strikes very fast. Other questions are little philosophical, but still very practical also. But this question by Arjuna is actually very downward out of many questions which are facing Arjuna in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Says, what is the thing which is forcing me to do something which I don't want to do? What is the thing which is forcing me not to do something which I'm supposed to do? I want to. I want to come to temple, but what is the thing which is forcing me to hold him? So then immediately Krishna replies. He says, oh, there are two things, my dear Arjuna. Actually, there's only one thing. He says that kama esha. Esha means jomiti. Throw the esha. Rajoguna samudhava. this kama and krodha, this lust and anger, my dear Arjuna, these two things are forcing you to do all these things. And where are these two things coming from? They are coming from mode of passion, rajoguna samatva. Kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajoguna samatva. Mahashano, mahapapa, vidhiyena, bhavayena. My dear Arjuna, this lust which is there within you, it is actually what? It is your enemy. But this enemy, which is the lust, the form of lust, is sitting right in your heart. But now you are thinking that this enemy is your friend. That is a big problem. If your enemy is sitting next to you, can you be peaceful? What next to you, even if you just enter the door and sit somewhere else, you will think, looking there, maybe he's there. You'll never be able to concentrate on the class. What is speak of enemy? Suppose somebody has just spoken something which is not spoken to you, friend of insulted you. Knowingly or unknowingly, he did not respect you. So then what happens? Just comes somewhere near, just look at him, immediately you will answer. Why? Just imagine if the same person is sitting near to you, next to you, or within your heart, then how you will do? So this lust is sitting in everybody's heart. So Krishna describes about lust. What is lust? What is the position of lust? Is your enemy? Is that? Mahashanam is going to destroy your life. Mahapapa, vidhiyam, vidhiyam. So that is why, my dear Arjuna, by working very hard for my sake, you conquer this enemy called lust. This enemy called lust cannot be just driven out by mere renunciation. Only by working hard for my sake. That is why kama krishna karmarpana. Kama means there is so much of lusty desires in us. I want this, I want that, I enjoy it, I enjoy it, I want to enjoy it. So all these desires which are there in the mind, what is the solution for it? The solution is not to run to the forest. Even if you run to the forest, you are going to take your mind there. The mind is not going to be in the city. The mind is going to be there in the forest also. So all the desires are there in the mind, you take desires there also. So, my dear Arjuna, the solution is not to run away from the place. The solution is to be in the place and do what I say. Act according to my will. So, that is the whole summit substance of the third chapter. How to engage all the senses in Krishna's service. That is why bhakti means what? Rishikena Rishikesha Seva. Rishika means senses. How all our senses, hands, legs, eyes, nose, ears, skin, every sense which we have, knowledge gaining and working senses, should be engaged completely in Krishna's service. Even one calorie of energy which is not used in Krishna's service will be definitely used in Maya's service. It will be used in service of lust. So, ending the whole chapter, Krishna says that Indriyani Paramya Indriyekya Paramana Manasastu Apara Buddhe Yudhuddhe Parasastusa. He says, Yevam Buddhe Param Buddha Sanskritya Khatma Atmanatmanam Jai Shatrum Mahabahu Kamarupam Durasanam. He says, Jai Shatrum, you conquer this. You conquer this lust. How do you conquer? Knowing oneself to transcend material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty and Arjuna. One should study his mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence. So, here again, Krishna gives a chance for Arjuna to become confused in the last verse. So, how he gets confused again? Again, confused because use of intelligence. You become transcendental to the senses. Right? What is this? At one place you say, you use your senses in my service. At other place you say, use your intelligence to become transcendental to the senses. So that is why in the chapter, Arjuna asks another question. Same question he asked in the chapter. The fifth chapter and the third chapter are already quite similar. So when you go to the fifth chapter, we have similarities. How third chapter and fifth chapter are quite similar. But ultimately, the essence of the third chapter, what is the essence? What is the essence of the first section? First section is, the essence is, working for Krishna is better than renouncing work. That is the first section, first 9 verses. Working for Krishna means yajna, performing sacrifice. Now, when the word sacrifice came, in the Vedas there are so many kinds of sacrifices mentioned. But one has to go above these sacrifices which are aimed at sense gratification, enjoying, tendency. Oh, हमारे घर में सत्यनारायण पूजा है, हवन है ना भाई, इसके लिए है हाँ, ये हवन के बाद हमको और अच्छा बहुत सुविधा मिले ताकि इसको हम भोग सकें. I will do this hour so that more prosperity will come, more prosperity will come, more enjoyment I can do. But ultimately, whether you enjoy, as long as the spirit to enjoy the spiritual world is there, there is no cessation. So one has to get above karma kanda and come to the process of pure devotional service. That is working for the sake of Krishna. So, summarizing the whole the third chapter, it's the second section. Krishna says, one should come to the point of working without any desires, without any expectation, for completely for the pleasure of Krishna. Now, when somebody is liberated, the next section, that is 17 to 35 verse, even though you have been liberated, but still you should work. Example of Janaka. Just because somebody is liberated, that doesn't mean he should not work, but he should still work for the sake of Krishna. Even Krishna, when he comes, he still works. In the last section, the only solution to work, to conquer this lust, is working for the sake of Krishna. So, there is one verse in the third chapter, that is the 30th verse of the third chapter. This verse is called the Karma Sara. In this world, everybody wants to do some work. They should know how to work. The formula to work is given in the 30th verse. He says, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmano bhutva yuddhasva vigatat yuvaraha. So here Arjuna, Krishna says clearly to Arjuna, you vigatat jvara. Jvara means laziness. Pure also, but also laziness. So vigata jvara means give up this laziness. And then yuddha, yuddhasva, fight. How to fight? Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. Giving up the results of your work to me. Nirashir, without any other desire, other than the desire to satisfy me. Nirmamo, even the energy with which you are fighting or doing work, considering that this is actually given by Krishna. Nirmamo bhutva yuddhaya, you fight. So, two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, they are considered to be the karma sara, means the essence of karma. Third chapter, 30th verse, and the 11th chapter, 54th verse. Mat karma pin mat paramo mat sangha vivartita nirvayaya sarva bhuteshu yasamamedi pandava. So the 11th chapter last verse and the 3rd chapter 30th verse, these two are called karma sara, essence of performing duty. So everybody is working hard, so you should know how to work. So three things: working according to whims, renouncing work, working according to Krishna. So people generally have only two options in their mind, whether I should work or not. But there is a third option. What is the third option? Work for Krishna. That is called karma yoga. In simple words, if somebody wants, you want to explain third chapter to somebody, they say, my dear sir, there are no two options, there are third option. What is the third option? Work for Krishna. That's the solution. So, any questions?
Wow, very
Okay, you tell Dhanwad Shetty. What's your name? Amit. So Amit will tell Dhanwad Shetty. Yes. Okay, very good. So, second verse, you know, second verse, no. Yes or no? She knows. Okay, tell her.